Well, amen. I mean, praise the Lord. It's good to be here. Isn't it? Isn't it? All right. Hi, everybody. It's good to see you. Glad to be here. Is my mic okay? Am I good? I just ask my girls. They'll tell me the truth. Other people won't. You look great. You look wonderful. You look great. There's just a little something hanging out your nose. Tell you that's how I was just talking to one of our ladies, said that's how you know when you have a true friend. You know that, right? Got a little something there. Okay. All right, let's get to seriousness, shall we? It's great to be here. Before I get started, because this is the only time I get to really be serious up here, I want to say what a privilege and an honor it is, first of all, to be here, and that Dr. Walsh and Pastor has entrusted me with standing here. I don't take that for granted. And I think it's truly a privilege to get to do this. I'd much rather be up here talking than listening. Seriousness. I can do this. But seriously, I it's a pleasure for me to be able to be up here. I want to say thank you to our pastor's wife, Dr. Walsh. A lot of us don't see the things that go on behind the scenes that she does. And it's a pleasure to work with her. I can tell you from talking to her, her heart's burden is that we would have something for you ladies that will truly help you to grow closer to the Lord. We want this to be a time of fellowship and a time of fun. Yes, we obviously do that. But more than anything, we want you to grow closer to the Lord. That is her goal, and that's her heart with it. And I couldn't be more happy to be able to serve under someone who has that desire. So I'm so thankful for her. As we get started, my message is called Help for the Hoarder. Yeah, you're wondering where that's going, aren't you? So, Mr. Soundman, would you mind if we would get the things going? So before we get going, I decided I would like to encourage you with some motivational pictures for your life and get this. How many of you have seen the show Hoarders? Some of you are like, I don't want to admit to that. Oh man, all y'all seen it. That's really funny. Okay, so I got some pictures of some hoarders and some nice kitchens that we might want to look at. Did y'all see the person? Some of you didn't even see the person, did you? Yeah, can you imagine cooking supper in that kitchen? Can you imagine? All right, can we have the next ones, please? Yeah, that makes it sad. Y'all went all because you saw a child, didn't you? That made it really sad. It's funny until you see kids in it, isn't it? However, it's still pretty bad. And can we have the last one? Wow. There's a walker in that one. So that you can't blame that on teenagers. I'm just saying. We'd like to, but you can't. All right. There we go. Yeah. Want to cook in there, ladies? Is that all I have, sir? I think that's the last one. Okay, thank you, sir. Just want to kind of get that image in your mind. Let me ask you a question I want you to think about. How useful are these homes? They're not useful. Can we cook meals in theirs? Can we celebrate Christmas in that living room? Can we have our child building blocks in there? Can we have our grandchildren coming over? We can't do anything there, can we? And it's funny, we see that so clearly. Dr. Walsh, real quickly, what time am I supposed to stop? 12? 11. Okay, so we need to get going here. We see things and we're like, that's terrible, isn't it? We can see that. But if we could look at it, would you be willing to agree with me that these people that can live in these conditions most likely have a mental problem? And y'all heathens admitted, because me too, have watched the show, and you've seen how these people literally, it's a physical condition. They cannot let go of the items that they have. It's a real struggle for them. Find this acceptable? Probably not. I want to take this, and I want to apply it to us as Christians. Am I okay? Okay. I feel like I keep cutting in and out, but that we often, as Christians, are emotional hoarders. We can't see it. No one could see it. but we know it's there. God knows it's there. And that's what I want to talk about today, is being an emotional hoarder. If you have your Bible, I'm doing a really different lesson than I've ever done before. This is kind of like, I think preachers call it shotgun. I don't have like a set story that I'm going through. We're going to look at different portions of scripture. So the first one is Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, in verse 25. Proverbs 12, 25. I'm going to go ahead and read it, even though I hear pages shuffling. Heaviness in the heart of a man maketh it stoop. Heaviness in the heart of a man. We're going to put woman in here for today. Heaviness in the heart of a woman maketh it, talking about the heart, stoop. That heaviness is often related to worries or burdens that we tend to keep in there, and it causes us to stoop. What does that stoop mean? I thought it sounded kind of funny myself, but it's the quality of having great weight. Okay, I do kind of qualify in that part, but not in the way we think. The other part of the quality of having great weight, can you just imagine that invisible burden on the shoulders, right? A mentally oppressive feeling. So when we carry around that heaviness, the Bible tells us it causes our heart to stoop, and we have a heaviness about us, and it's literally an oppressive feeling. Talk about specifically today, hoarding our burdens, hoarding our burdens. I just so happen to have some things up here that we're going to specifically, oh my word, I'm going to tear the place apart. Okay, we're all right. Hopefully everybody can see. I have one here. Can y'all see what that says? Health, health. I have some burdens that we're going to play with a little bit here. Health. Do this quickly. Relationships. Children. I don't mean your children are a burden. I mean, we worry about them as a burden. I mean, sometimes they're a burden, but not mine. Mine are perfect angels. Right, girls? Finances and marriage. So what I want you to do real quick, Dr. Walsh was so handy. Inside your back, she put a spot for notes, and maybe you already have something that you're writing on. If you already have something that you're writing on, that's fine. Use what you have. If you don't have something to write on, in your bag is a little spot for notes. And I'm sure there's probably even a pen, because we're just that clever to do that. Yes, there's a pen too. Pull that out. I'm not going to ask you to share these. We're not going to hold them up or do anything like that. You see some burdens that I've chosen here that I thought would be kind of broad to help. I want you on that piece of paper, just for you, write a couple things, one thing that's the main thing that you would say is your burden, a burden for you, the main thing. And if it's one of these, that's fine. I just kind of want you to get your mind going in that direction. What is something that's your personal burden? And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask, you don't have to share, but is there any who, like, I didn't think one that you would be like, this is one that some of us deal with that you should really say? Is anyone else that would like to say, hey, here's something specific? No one ever is going to be shy? No? Okay. I nailed it all. Way to go. Yes, Miss Peggy? Anger. Carrying, how to carry ourselves, like our personal demeanor, maybe. Okay. Bitterness, I guess, type of thing. Yes. So just write those down. We're not going to do anything with that. What all I want you to do is think about the fact that this is my burden right here. This is the thing that I have, is what I want you to do. So often, we cling to these burdens. We hold on to them. And we spend our life worrying and fretting over them as if we have the power to change things. Yes, I have a power to help my marriage, my finances. I can quit going to Target so often. That would probably help my finances. Those types of things, yes. But we hold on to them so much as if literally I have the power to change them in a different, in a very strong way. And by me holding on to them, it's going to make it better. We do that. What I want to talk about today is, what does God want us to do with worries, concerns, burdens? What does he want me to do? I'm going to read a couple verses. You don't have to look them up because I'm kind of trying to go through these quickly. 1 Peter 5:7. Everyone knows this verse. We use it all the time. We use it. Casting all your care upon him for? We know it so well, don't we? We really do. We know it. I think it's one my grandmother taught me to do. But yet, we don't do it. That's one. Psalm 55:22. This one gets very blunt. You can't deny this one. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. I mean, that's as clear as day. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. God just gives it to us very clearly. Here's what he wants us to do. Give him our burden. We are not to carry it. We are not to try to hold on to it. We are to give it to him. God wants us to give him our burdens and worries. And listen, no excuses. It doesn't say, cast thy burden upon the Lord. But, or, if, just says, cast thy burden upon the Lord. That's just what we're supposed to do with it. Someone, I read this a couple weeks ago. I've been preparing this for forever. And someone said this, and I thought, it's such a good thing. We need to have a palms up life. A palms up life. What does that mean? Offering everything to God, but holding on to nothing. A palms up life. We have to offer everything to God. And when my palms are up, can't hold on to anything. We need to let him have everything with this. Colossians 3:1-2 says, I need my glasses. If ye then be risen with Christ, so this is talking to the saved. So I feel like they're saying here, like, duh, this is, if you're saved, here's what you need to do. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. He says, look, you're saved now. You have no right to look anywhere else. Our eyes, if our hands are palm up and our eyes are up to the Lord, that's what he wants from us. And that's how we should live in that way. Now, let me think of, we looked at those pictures. Now, here's what I want you to get to. When we choose to handle these things on our own, to carry our own problems, we look at those houses. We really do. I'm going to do an illustration. I'm going to ask my girls if they come up. They're all prepared. I'm not surprising them that they're all ready for this. I need D over here, the other five over here. Okay, you're all going to have to really use your imagination with me here. Why don't you stand first on them all? I'm not going to torture you forever. For those of you who are visiting, these are all my girls. Katie, Kayla, Kara, Kylie, Kenzie, Callie. There are these are our special K's. okay, so to use your imagination with me, I want you to pretend that each one of that this group as a whole, I know, please don't be upset with me, that this represents God. I know they're ladies, and I know it's we can never be God. I understand that. Just go with me, all right? Just go with me. So they're gonna be God. All right, can each of y'all just go grab one? And when when God is God, because God is God, and he has our burdens, it is easy for him. It's not difficult. It's not hard. He can help them, except one of ours has a little bit of a... it's not a difficult thing, okay? And he has all of them. However, we, over here, we give them to Lord, and we're like, okay, Lord, you got them. I'm okay. Then something comes up, and we're like, oh, but you know, have you seen the prices of gas? And what about this other thing that's going on? Oh, my health, I had something come up. I'm just not so sure. I'll hold on to them. I'll keep it. All right. You doing all right? And then we were like, but you know, God, I haven't seen you doing anything yet. So maybe I should take these back. You good? Maybe you should take those back. You know, while I'm at it, just give me the relationships too, because I'm just not really sure you got a handle on this, God. Got it? Because I'm not sure you got a handle on this, God. I got it. I've got it taken care of. I'll hold on to everything. Y'all seeing this? Go ahead and sit down. I did this to her one other time before, like about 5 years ago, but I didn't have a chair for her. She couldn't move her arms for the next 3 days. So I know it looks like we're cheating, but I just can't do it to her again. So we sit there. And we say, okay, I got it. I can take care of it. I've got these items. I've got my marriage under control. I got my finances okay. My children, yeah, I got them. All the other, my health, yeah, I can take care of that. I'll be all right with it. And then we might end up giving some things back to the Lord. We're like, well, my marriage is doing pretty good now. Hubby and I are getting along really well. The kids, man, they're doing really good in school. They're not driving me near as crazy. Here, God, you can have them back now. Here, God, you can have them. Get them straightened out for you. Don't we? Everything. Oh, God, you know what? My husband got that raise. Here, God, you can have my finances back now. We fixed it. We fixed it. We fixed it. We got it taken care of. Then something else happens. The children, maybe some of you out there, I don't know the case, maybe you have a prodigal child. Like you don't, he's been gone way too long. I'll take him back. I'll hold on to him. You see the picture here? Now is God struggling? But here's what I want you to get to, the biggest thing. Thank you, ladies. Bless her heart, she's not standing. She's so thankful this time. Let me ask you a question. What is she useful for right now? That's probably the biggest thing that impacted me when the Lord revealed this to me in my heart. Was that... Y'all can sit down. You can sit down. The biggest thing that impacted me was when I realized that I was holding all my burdens, all my problems, all my everything myself, I was of zero value to the Lord. I couldn't do anything because I was consumed with me, really. And I would have people... maybe come in my life that the Lord wanted to use me in, maybe to witness to or to be an encouragement to. But I was too full holding on to my own things that I couldn't do it. And it literally, you become, I hate to use a strong term, but I'm going to say useless for the Lord. Because I haven't done what he said. Why does God tell me to give him all his Give me all. Give him all my burdens. That is really a tongue twister. Why does God tell me to give him all my burdens? Why? Because he knows I can't handle it, number one. He knows I obviously cannot handle it. But he knows if I trust him and it's in his hands, he can do something amazing with my life. When I let that palms up life and I let go, God steps in and does something that we could never, ever possibly have imagined. So I'm going to pull these for you. You're not going to be sore tomorrow. You'll be able to move your arms tomorrow. It's a blessing. She works in a daycare holding babies. It's a good thing. You put the other one down for me. Of course, ladies, we always have to use personal illustrations, and I would say this came really real to me at a time when, and I know I am not the only one who went through this, but I'm going to use the illustration anyways. My girls were going off to college I have my kids really close together. So I have six kids and they're 6.5 years apart. I know you're like, what were you thinking? I don't know. I don't know. Kind of a blur, that part of my life. Girls got ready to go off to college. We did two at a time. That was the dumbest thing we ever did. We did two at a time. So our first two were going off to college. We were ready to go back to Sri Lanka. And we took Katie and Kayla to Heartland Baptist Bible College. And it was opening day, moving into the dorms, all that fun, exciting stuff. I say that in jest. And we know a lot of people down there. And I walked onto the campus, and I literally could not. People were like, oh, hi, Mrs. Hewitt. Hi, Jessica. How you doing? And I couldn't talk because I was just ready to bawl. Like, for me to talk would just be like, I was ready to break down in tears. Like, I'm good, thank you. How you doing? Fine. I couldn't. I was literally just a mess. And I can remember, they were giving out Krispy Kremes. I didn't even take one. I mean, that really tells you the severity. I'm just saying. So I said no to Krispy Kremes. And I can remember the girls were in line to do the registration. I got a picture of them, new student registration. I was doing the mom thing. I was doing what I was supposed to do, you know, taking pictures, hugging them, smiling. I was doing that. But I found a restroom to go to, and I went to the bathroom, and I got to a stall, shut the door, sat down. Okay, I don't want you to get the wrong image. The seat was closed. You're like, what picture are y'all giving us? This is kind of weird. Sorry. I just went in there with six. I need to get away from people. And I just started bawling. Uncontrollable. I couldn't do it. And I had just had a friend who just, in our home church, she had sent several of her children to Bible college. Like I said, I know many of you have done the same thing. Some of you have sent them off further away than Bible college. I know that. This is my story. And I text my friend, and I said, I don't think I can do this. I don't think I can handle this. I just can't. I can't walk away from them. And can I tell you, honestly, my children are going to hate me. It wasn't so much I was going to miss them. Y'all know where I'm going. Yes, I was going to miss them. But it wasn't so much, what if something happened to them and I wasn't there? Who was going to take care of them? Who was going to protect them? Because I wasn't there to do it. And that's where it got really real to me. A couple months later, my girls are set in Bible college. And we had had some serious issues. Some girls that were in with my girls shouldn't have been in Bible college, but it's what happens sometimes in my girls. I'm not going to get into that. But then we were ready to go overseas to the country of Sri Lanka. We were missionaries there. And we boarded the plane with four girls, not six. And I remember just flying away. We were so excited to go, but all I could think of is, what if something happens to them? There's no one there. Who's going to take care of them? And you're like, well, Miss Jessica, you really got this situated. You really got your heart right with this. This is going to have a good ending of the story. It took me a couple years. We're overseas, and literally, my children can attest, I would stay up till 8 o'clock because it's 12 hours difference time. They're awake, I'm asleep, vice versa. So I would stay up at night just waiting to hear from them. Because what if something happened? Because I'm not there to take care of them. I literally would get their roommates' phone numbers. Did I not? I did. Because I wanted to make sure I could get a hold of them. If I couldn't get a hold of them in like 10 minutes, there was trouble. You know? And I'm just telling you, I was holding on to whichever one. I was holding on to it so tight, not willing. And what could I have done if something did happen? Nothing. But they were in the Lord's hands. And I finally had to get to the place where I just had to say, God, because then I sent another two at the same time. So I'm down four children with like in 2 years. Let me tell you, if you have them close, be careful. It's not easy. So we were down to a family of four within like 2 years. It was ridiculous. And the next two that went, I did better. I wasn't sitting in the bathroom just bawling my eyes out and hiding from people. I wasn't doing that. Each time it got better. But can I say every time I had to mentally say, God, here, they're yours. I can't do it. Because it got to the place when I was in Sri Lanka and we were there serving the Lord, I was consumed with not the people there, but with my people here in the States. And I had to get to the place where I got to the place where I wasn't as used as I could be, because my heart was not where God wanted it to be with it. And that's a hard place to be. I want you to look at that if you wrote things down, or if you're rebels and you were just like, I'm not gonna do it, whatever. I'm just kidding. Maybe some of you are godly and you don't have problems like I do. Those things that you wrote, I want you to think about. Like the pictures up here, if we could take a picture of inside your heart, what would it look like? What would we see? Would it look like this, hoarded with all the cares of the world, all the things that I worry about holding on to? Or would it be a heart that's palms up for the Lord? What would it be? If we could, which we know we can't, would you be proud to let someone look at your, and I don't mean pride as in a bad way, I mean, I've really given my life to the Lord wholly. If we could look in, would you be proud for other people to see it? You know how it is when your house, people come, what happens when you hear someone's come into your house? My girls are like, oh, don't even ask her. There's this video, it's like, quick, hide the pillow. I don't want them to know we have a pillow. Someone put the furniture away. They can't think we have furniture. When people come to our house, we do that same thing. There cannot be a dirty dish in that sink, right? There cannot be anything out of place. Everything needs to look like you live perfectly. Maybe I'm the only one. I'm a little OCD with it. I kind of have issues with that. I had one lady in this church bust into my house unexpected and caught me. Miss Ruthie came to my house. I've never been more embarrassed in my entire life. I told her to. I was humiliated, and I never do that. My girls can tell you, no one comes to our house unless it's like spotless. I digress. The question is, do we not want our spiritual life to look the same way? Not just when people are looking, but all the time, that we give our burdens to the Lord. That's what we want. We want to have that. Do we want to be ashamed or proud? I'm going to give you three things and I'm going to close. I'm going to be done like a few minutes early. I just want to give you 4 points. It sounds like I'm giving you 4 points. I'm really not, Dr. Walsh. Don't get worried. I'm just going to give you a few little phrases. Number one, we need to call on him. We need to call. If you're here and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this doesn't even apply to you. Your first step is to realize that you're a sinner and you need Jesus in your heart. That's the first step that you need. You can't give Jesus your burdens if you're not his child. So you have to become his child before you give him your burdens. He's standing there waiting for you, but you have to become his child before you do that. Call on him. Second, trust him. Trust him. Guys, he's able. He's so much more than able. That seems so petty to even say it that way. He's more than able. Last, give it to him. Give it to him. And then I'm going to add a little section to this, give it to him. Leave it with him. Leave it with him. And then finally, here's the best part. Here's the best part of this whole thing. Rest in him. Rest in him. He's got it. We don't have to. Where are you at with your life with this? I want you to think about that.